number one independent television network presents the following sports exclusive.
A crowd of close to 50,000 people is waiting to see not a football game, but America's fastest growing sport, professional soccer.
Soccer became a carnival of picnics, parties, togetherness, and fun. More than a game, it became a happening.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the soccer-specific podcast. I think that's the name of our thing. It's been a grip.
It's been a hot minute.
It's been a minute. We've all been a little busy, but we've got two out of three with us live here in the virtual studio. I'm Ben, and I'm here with Will. Hey, Will.
Hey, I'm Will. I'm here with Ben. Hey, Ben. How's it going?
Hi, Will. Good. I think we're gonna get some call-in hot takes from our usual MC Sam in a bit. But since it's been a grip, we wanted to talk about the season that happened. I don't remember the last time we talked, but I think it was when the Sounders were still bad.
Oh, I'm going to assume everything was terrible.
They were super bad.
It was so bad.
They were really bad for a long time. And then they did what they've done the last few years and make a good signing in the middle of the season. This year it was a couple, Raul Ruiz Diaz, they signed. Probably the most significant one. They also signed a couple of people who we thought might play a bigger role down the stretch, but ended up not. Brad Smith, who I think we'll talk about some later in the pod when we touch on the Opta Best 11. But Will, we're now a couple weeks past the Sounders playoff exit. They won their first game against they didn't. They had a bye. That's right, because they went all the way to second.
Yes, so Ben, you're correct. They won the game they didn't have to play. It was fantastic. It was what the haters like to call a very boring game of soccer, in that it was 0-0 and the Sounders won.
So
we got that going for us.
That's pretty good. That's where I am in one of my fantasy football leagues this year too. I got a bye because I got first place in the regular season. I won the supporter shield.
I got a bye in my league because I'm terrible and I lost all my games.
Yeah, that's the one we're in together.
That was bad.
So they won their bye week by a lot, and then went into a pretty fun playoff matchup with the Timbers. First game in Portland, and the Sounders lost 2-1, so scored an away goal, but lost the game. Will, what were your thoughts after that game? Because I know the Sounders, really until the last couple of years, had always struggled in the playoffs. Do you think that the team has finally shaken off some of those conservative tendencies in the playoffs, or what do you think about that?
I don't know. Let me formulate a thought here. I think it's hard to come up with any sort of clear takeaway from the away leg of this series, when you have to make two injury subs in the first 30 minutes.
Oh yeah.
You know? So did we play well? Yes. Was it the best we could have played? Like, under the circumstances, maybe, but we lost two of the major players for our team for all season. You know, I think our boy Christian Roldan had only missed like 9 minutes all season. And you remove him from that game, which is arguably at that point in the season the biggest game yet. And that's kind of a blow. I thought that Torres did a fantastic job coming in. And I know that there had been concern about him throughout the season, you know, like, was he motivated? Was he committed? Was he in shape? And I thought that he came in and he did the best job he could at that point. And I was happy with that. I was not thrilled with the Waylon Francis sub for Roldan. I believe that's how it went. It was a little confusing to me, but you know, I'm a bar manager, not a soccer coach, so I will be content to second guess everyone's decision. But I didn't like that. I didn't understand it, and that's why I didn't like it. I'll be honest about it. But it didn't strike me as either the best offensive or defensive sub that we could have made. And if you're not making one or the other, then you're just in a holding pattern, and that's not going to be good enough.
Yeah, and it's not like he had been playing a lot either, Francis. He played some early in the season, and it was a signing that seemed to be okay, you know, like a little bit of depth or whatever. But then I'm just looking up who was playing in that game, right? It was New Who started.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. And so suddenly you bring in Francis. Hey, Kitty.
Sorry. My cat's super happy to be here.
You're good. And I, like you say, it didn't make sense because the Sounders had been playing this like 4-2-3-1 forever and gone on this really good streak. And so when Roldan goes out, you figure you bring in Jordy Delem, maybe, yeah, or another sort of central-ish midfielder, yeah, or you bring
yeah,
on...
Yeah, I'm on board with that. This is good.
Or you bring on Handwa Bwana.
Ooh, if you want to go for it.
I want to see him on the field. Because this is the thing about, I think, a lot of teams in the MLS playoffs, and especially in first legs, and maybe we can talk about the rumors that MLS is going to go to a total knockout single game postseason, if not next year, within a couple of years. But first legs are always, not always, often really boring. And I think that Schmetzer's sub with Francis kind of played into that, you know. I think you have to go for it.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at the bench right now. Obviously, I don't feel good about subbing on Brian Meredith
but put him on.
You know, hey, YOLO, here we go. But I'm really confused as to why Harry Shipp wasn't the guy.
Oh, sure.
You know,
right? That's right. Yeah.
You know.
He came on. Did he come on later?
I think he came on at the very end.
Yeah.
But yeah, you've got Jordy Delem, so you can drop him into the center and, I don't know, run like a 4-3-2-1. How many people is that? That's enough. Yeah. I mean, you could run three defensive mids, which is kind of what they ended up doing with Francis, I guess. But
yeah,
you know, for the amount of playing time that Francis and I'm sorry, Waylon Francis, I know you're not listening to this podcast, and I know your family isn't either, and neither are your friends, because like Sam's mom is the only person that listens to this. But you know, like Francis had not been seeing the playing time this season to make me feel excited and confident when he came on. And I'm very confused because the Sounders had been playing so well when Shipp had been on the field during that rough part of the year. And so I don't know why you don't bring him on. I don't know why you don't bring Will Bruin on in the first half and move Ladero like deeper or out to the wing and drop Rui Diaz back and do, you know, a 4-4-2. There were multiple options, and I just don't understand the one that was chosen.
Well, and it's part of the way these games always go. And I don't know the numbers, but it seems like in the MLS playoffs, so there's that first round play-in game, and it seems like the team that wins that play-in game carries huge momentum into the next round of the playoffs, and they have it at home in their place, whether they played that knockout game at home or away. And Portland had just gone to Dallas, I think, right, and won in Dallas. They're rolling, and I think as the higher seed, you're you're almost punished. And I know the benefit of being the higher seed is that at home, if it goes to extra time, which it did, and we can talk about that game, it was super fun. I know that was a really, really fun game. And I guess you play all season to get that game at home to make it that far. And who knows, right? Maybe without the crowd and without the home field, whatever, that game wouldn't have gone to overtime because there was a late goal to even send it to extra time, and then goals in extra time before losing in the shootout, which I hate to say it. As soon as Ozzie Alonso walked up to the spot, I know you and Sam and I were great player. Terrible at penalties for whatever reason. Who knows?
Stats guy, will you do me a favor? Will you find the last time Ozzie made a PK?
Yeah, I will. I'm gonna do live stats.
Oh yeah, that's fine. I'll fill up some dead air time. Yeah, so we lose the first game. And that's fine. You lose on the road. It's not the worst deal. We score a vital away goal, which is fantastic. I would have been, like, obviously much more thrilled if we had, you know, not given up the 1-0 lead really quickly on the road, because
right, because they scored super fast.
It was a fantastic goal. Like, Rui Diaz, like, smashes it in. Like, connection from Roldan, who's flying over all over the field. And then, obviously, you know, you break the kneecaps on two of your major players and shit changes. So, anyway, bygones. We go to game two. And that was, you know, that was just a really fun game. And I know I'm biased because obviously I'm a Sounders fan, and I'm going to say that most Sounders games are really fun, which is false because they play a lot of, like, just fucking terrible games that are garbage to watch. And I present for evidence most of the first half of this season. But this game was great. And I honestly think that from a neutral point of view, it was an entertaining game because it was very back and forth. And you knew that both teams had something at stake because there was the away goal on both sides, and because both teams needed to score. And that's what always misses from the first game, like you were saying, Ben, which, you know, like, I don't know, will a one game series change that, or will it make it more scrappy and cagey because people are so worried about giving up anything? I don't know, right. But yeah, the second leg was just fantastic back and forth. Like I was working that night and I got off, and everyone that was left in the bar was watching the game and was cheering for every single play. And I don't know, like, that's the stuff that makes me feel really good about where the league is and knowing that people care about these games.
For sure. It's that excitement. I know. And I'm glad that the Sounders and Timbers met in the playoffs, because it had only happened once before in MLS play, I think, in 2013, maybe 2013.
Chivalry, you remember that, don't you, Ben?
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Dude, we had a mini remix of that, I think, at the end of game two. Torres was up front. You know, he, like, goes up for a corner, and he just looks at the bench like, am I good? Am I good?
This is the thing, right? I do the thing.
This is it.
Oh man. Yeah. Oh, no.
Do it. So it's really fun. It's funny. I think that Garber and the league, there was a point on decision day, which was super fun again this year, where the first round of the playoffs was going to be Portland, Seattle, and Galaxy.
Oh god,
LAFC.
We wanted that to happen.
before Houston came back and knocked the Galaxy out of the playoffs, which was pretty wild. So I agree with you. Well, I couldn't find an easy stat on when Ozzie made his last PK, but I'll work on that for the next five.
Shit, I've got the Googles right here. Let's see. Alonso stats.
Have a go.
Here we go.
And there you go. So I think the it'll be interesting to see how MLS Cup is, because I watched a decent amount of the playoffs this year, and the games have been good, noticeably better, I think. Better players, good signs for the league for sure. And I think it's a dessert. Well, I will say the Portland Kansas City matches were pretty big hack fests. But I think that's just the way those teams play. So do you have thoughts on the MLS Cup and the playoffs as a whole? How does this international break? Does it kill the momentum? Is it good because the players get a little break?
You know, and I know that that's a short turnaround because the conference finals were on Thursday. And so it's not realistic to expect people to play again on Sunday. I don't know. It feels like waiting 10 days to get to that championship. It's too long to build the hype. And I lose the narrative. And I would rather that we just kept going. And I would love to see it happen a little bit faster. You know, I think it's fantastic. Totally. I've heard great things about Atlanta. I think they already sold out the tickets for that game, which is great. I don't know. Good job, Atlanta. Good luck, Atlanta. Good luck, Portland. I don't know. I don't really have a dog in the fight, obviously. I think that what I'm looking for is an entertaining game. I think the worst thing that could happen right now is like an ugly hackfest slog back and forth. And I don't think that we'll see that. I think that both Portland and Atlanta have shown that they can play really attractive, aggressive soccer. I think Atlanta has been running at people all year, and I think that Portland has been a fantastic counterattacking team, especially in the second half of the year. And so I think that the first half might be a little sludgy, but when the game finally opens up, I think it's just going to fly.
Totally. I agree with that. There are some interesting season-long numbers and stats that showed pretty much exactly what you're talking about, that Portland, it was a graph of it was like average number of time between gaining possession and scoring versus number of possessions that start in the opponent's half of the field, I think. And so the point of the graph was to show what teams press super high, win the ball, and score fast, what teams absorb pressure and then counter really fast, and then what teams possess the ball for a long time before they score. And Portland is exactly like you say, like absorb pressure, super fast counter. No surprise, the Red Bulls are the press super high and
get the ball in the opponent's half, score super fast.
And Atlanta, sort of surprisingly,
in a conference championship. Yo, remember that thing that we do really well and has been successful all year? I've got a plot twist. What if we stop doing
it? That's a Siggy move. That's a Siggy Schmidt trademark move. Yeah, it's a weird thing. I think the playoffs get coaches, especially in this weird mindset where you're trying to outthink yourself and outthink your system. And that totally happened to the Red Bulls after a record-setting season. They set the single season record, broke what Toronto did last year for points, and then they went away from their style.
Hey, okay, so this is a bit of a deviation. I know that I'm prone to like jumping all over the place. But you said the magic word, and you said Toronto. Oh yes. And I still have a bone to pick with the contention that Toronto last year was the quote unquote best team ever. And I want you to, I want you to talk me off the ledge here, but if we consider last year's Toronto team the best league or the best team ever, as everyone was so willing to call them, how do we reconcile that with this year's reality in which their regular season achievements were beaten by two teams? And the fact
two
that
teams.
The best team ever from last year that had very minimal turnover, I think they kept all their core players, failed to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I know. So the thing about Toronto last year is they won MLS Cup and they won
that's coveted Canadian field,
championship.
Isn't it? They have to play they have to play that powerhouse. What is it? The Edmonton FC?
Good. Edmonton FC, Montreal, Vancouver, and Toronto. I think that's it. I know it's an interesting thing because is it partly because of the both the story of Toronto being really bad for a long time and then building a team to be really good?
Is that part of the best team ever and partly the star power
with Bradley and Josie
on a regular basis, and then I'm okay for like a little bit? That doesn't mean I'm employee of the month. Oh, gee.
No, it just means you're president of the United States, I think.
Oh. Ouch.
I know, sorry. I think that we just got swept up in the, maybe in the star power, and they were the best. Sort of all time last year. I mean, I think that's
and
not,
no moments further.
Those aren't
ever
exclusive
again.
Things to say, right? Apparently, I know. Is it because of the, I don't know what it is. I mean, the Red Bulls play a fun style. Is it because the stadium doesn't get full and there's not huge names? There's great young players, but there's not.
I think some of it
is also on that
team.
I don't know what
it is. People say, well, would you know the initial like season one Sounders, like how would they compete against like this year's Sounders, because they were really good in that expansion year? Well, yeah, they were really good, but they would get absolutely obliterated by the team that we have now. And you know how I know that? Nate Jaquette, Terry Boss, Pat Newman, like, I'm sorry. Like, those guys did the Lord's work for us, and I am so grateful for what they did. And they are much better soccer players than I will ever be or could ever hope to be. But I think that in a contest between Nate Jaquette and Raul Ruiz Diaz, I might give Rui Diaz the edge.
Yeah. I know. It's pretty wild. It's wild to go back and think. It's the league is so crazy. It changes so fast. Because it's still young, I guess, right? So maybe that's why we're so quick to move on from the best team in history in Toronto last year to not the best team in
questions
in the history
about the Sounders
in the Red
team
Bulls
that won the cup
this year.
Do you know who missed a PK against Toronto for the Sounders?
Oh, I'm gonna guess.
No, it was
Osvaldo Alonso.
El Flaco Fernandez.
Oh,
yes, yes. Okay, do you
really
know who helped kick
not
off
that
the game for the Sounders?
Who's
It was your boy Freeburg.
Nelson Valdez.
You know, and like, I don't want to disparage either of those players, but I want to point out that both of them played for us like 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. And at that point in time, like when they first came to the team, it was a big deal. And it was like, oh, all right. Like we got this guy, like this is going to be the thing, right? We're going to be good now. Or better, however you want to look at it. And then to look at it, you know, 3 years ago, and say, oh yeah, like they played for us and they were helpful and they were on the team and one of them started a bunch and the other guy subbed in every now and then. And then to look at the team that we have now and try and frame all of that in a relative perspective. I think that this is a very good sign for the league in general, that the caliber and the skill and the pace of the players is continually increasing. And it's not to say that the players that have been here in the past aren't good or were bad, but I think that the game just continues to evolve at such a pace that it's fantastic to see. And it's hard to say that Toronto of last year was the best team ever when the reality is that team probably would have, and I think probably did, lose to a couple teams this year, and it wasn't even funny.
Totally. And it's that fast pace of change is pretty wild. And it's, I think this first 20 years of the league, you could break into a few different eras already. And it's really hard to compare the teams across the eras and almost year to year as these expansion teams are coming in, and teams like LAFC and Atlanta. Yeah. It's come in like spending right off the bat, right? Like bringing in good players, getting the stadium rocking, and just doing it. So, Will, speaking of all this money,
there's so much money
in MLS, and how we like that there's more money being spent, and there's more WAM, there's more TAM, there's GAM, there's all sorts of stuff. Our boy, the local lad, Jordan Morris, signed a fat contract extension just today, I think. We're recording this on Friday, December 7th, 2018. He signed a 5-year contract worth about $1 million a year. There's a couple things to say about this, but what's your first impression of that contract? Deserved? Smart investment?
So my understanding is that it is a five-year contract, but is only 3-year guaranteed, and then I think it's a 1-in-1 option, which I think is a smart investment. I think some people could say this is overpaid. This is risky since he was broken all of this last year, and we're essentially gambling that he's going to come back and be healthy and be successful. But I think it's really important to remember that the dude is still young. He had a really good freshman year. And I think it's a smart move to lock him down for right now, because you can always sell, right?
I think so. And I think I agree with you. It may be, I have a hard time judging whether or not that's a lot of money or not, because it's really hard still in the MLS to know how much money a team has and how much they have for the first team versus the academy and how much TAM there is and whatever. But there's at least one person who totally disagrees and is throwing some spicy salt on this deal. And Sam, you know who I'm talking about.
Sam, tell me why I'm wrong. Tell me why it's I'm Sam wrong, Hardy. Sam. I mean, I will throw the forum over to you and let you go to town. But before I do so, I would like to point out that we are saving money because I am pouring out a little scotch right now. Rest in peace, Clint Dempsey. Salary off the books. I have much appreciation for everything you did for us. Mad respect for all the nuts you tapped, for all the shade you threw, for all the red cards you ripped up. What a character. Love him or hate him. He was immensely entertaining to watch. He was immensely infuriating to watch. But I feel very privileged to have had him play for our team.
Amen. I forgot he played on the team this year. I was like, oh, far out. That's right. Mm-hmm. I know. It's been a long year, Will. It's been a long year. Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it? You're totally right, though, that that's a lot of dollars off the books. And exactly as you said, what a dude. I remember Dempsey Watch when he first came was pretty righteous and one of the first big signings in the league. So pretty cool. So now he can just go freaking fish and record rap albums and do and just tap nuts in private.
Man, everybody's got their thing.
Yeah, you do it, man. What a dude. I'm a little sad that he didn't get both one more goal with the Sounders and one more with the U.S. national team because he was tied.
Yeah, he tied with the
– I think on both with Landy teams Cakes for
and he tied time. With Montero.
Goal scoring lead, right? Totally. And I know it'd be cool. I sort of wish he would have gotten one more chance and one more goal with each team to break that record and hold it at least for a while. Until our boy Josh Sargent, redhead, he scored in his debut today. I don't know if you saw that.
I was really busy today doing stuff.
Yeah, he did. So there's one other – what? I know. It's a big day. there's one other person who doesn't like the new contract.
Is he going – do you think he's – worried that no one's paying him attention. How do I want to say this? There's too much pay me ent going to JMO.
Nice. That's a grown ass man. Our boy, former Sounder, former U.S. men's national team star. Eddie Johnson tossing out shade on Instagram.
Please do.
I kind of want to. Please do. I'm just going to read the quote in full. Because why not? Our listener, Lauren Furia, and Sam's mom will be the better for it. So Eddie says, I smashed it there for two seasons, led the team both years in goals, and was banging goals in for club and country. Took my country to a World Cup and a proven goal scorer at the international level and in the league with a scoring title, where I was the youngest to ever win a scoring title with and a World Cup under my belt. And they traded me after everything that was promised and everything they asked of me to do, and I delivered, period. That's the first sentence. You know he's coming in hot. They sold me to the league for $900,000 for allocation money. Who then owns my rights and determines where they want to ship me? So they shopped me around the teams in the league. Modern day slavery, man. I'm telling you, you pay less
Eddie,
sale for you more though.
Lol.
Yes, Eddie. League. I love it. It goes on. League made $6 million off me and sold me to Fulham, but never gave me that million a year that I deserved. I had to go to Europe and get my first million. I want to hear the comments now. Numbers don't lie. I can tell you more stories that are similar with the minorities in this league. How you get a mil a year with no World Cup under your belt and never played in Europe coming off an ACL injury? Hashtag stay woke. Hashtag We got. Bicep emoji.
can I give you a hot take reaction to that? Inflation?
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't that long ago. When did he play with the Raptors? Let's see. Let's see. Hold on.
Johnston made $156,333 in his final year in Seattle in 2013. Then complained about his contract and was traded to DC United, which paid him $613,333 in 2014 before reportedly voiding his contract. And this is ESPN's words, not mine. So, yeah, don't at me.
Yeah. So I'm going to inflation calculator. Oh, carinsurancedata.org. I'm adjusting 156,000 to 2018. Well, okay. It's 165,000.
Well, yeah. Oh, it burned. It burned.
Let me pour a little milk on your hot take. So that's an order of magnitude less money per year for Eddie Johnston. Is this – what do you think about – there's a lot of takes in there.
Well, I think Eddie, I would love it if you wanted to come on the pod and maybe talk about this with us. So in like 7 years when this finds its way to you, hit us up. We'd love to have you on and get your perspective. But I also think that this just, again, goes to speak about what you and I were talking about how quickly the league is changing and growing and adapting and evolving. And there's more cash in the league now, so they have more money to spend on people. And there's this greater incentive to lock down the homegrown players and really make that commitment to the youth and develop it. And I think that's what we're seeing here. You know, it's not to say that Eddie Johnston was a bad player or he wasn't worth a certain amount. He was a fantastic player and he probably deserved more money, but that doesn't mean that we had money to pay him, right?
Pay me. It's crazy though. I know. I think it is partly that, and it's partly a commentary on the way the league was then towards players and still sort mm-hmm. of is, where the players have so little agency and control in where they play, how much they make. There was some, I think, it was today that Don Garber gave a funny press conference. So state of the league, the state of our league is strong. We're looking to expand into Miami. David Beckham is coming, Nashville. And there was a – what was my point? There was a a question about, you know, this TAM money and GAM money and whatever being mostly used on big-name foreign players to bring them in. And Garber kind of punted on the answer and said, that's up to individual teams to decide how they want to splash that cash around. But it's kind of related to – Eddie's point here, in that, especially when he was in the league, the domestic players who were good didn't really get paid what they should have gotten paid. And partly it's, you're right, Will, is that there just wasn't the money in the league, but mostly I think that came from a bunch of shiesty owners, right? Like Robert Kraft and
Stan.
Who's the guy that owns the Rapids? Krunky? Stan Kroenke? Yeah. So I think there's some legitimate gripes there that were for sure true when he was playing and are definitely still holding on. You know, the league is trying to up the value of these mid-range contracts. And really that's what Jordan Morris's contract is. It's like an upper middle class MLS contract, right? There's dudes that make more than that. Most people make less than that. But it speaks to a good thing that the league has progressed, but a bad thing that the players still don't have agency in, maybe even especially domestic players, with Jordan Morris being maybe an exception to that. So it's I'm glad he said all that for sure, because it's pretty spicy. And we'll have to see if Jordan Morris is healthy and up for it. You know, I think that's the real test of the money.
We'll see.
Team's taking a bet on him, and hopefully he can play well.
He's going to be a major focus for us going into this next year. And he's obviously a huge part of our plans moving forward. So, not to put all our eggs in one basket and then put it into the cart before the horse, and lead it to water and force it to drink. But we'll see what happens.
I'm just glad that the Roldan Morris Fortnite team
can
stay together.
It's tough. They don't have internet over there, anywhere else. So.
I know.
I do.
Speaking of those dudes, Will, do you want to do a quick
how do you want to do this? Do you want to run through the roster really quickly? Do you just want to throw some names back and forth? And one of us says, murder, fuck, kill. We won't murder and kill them. I don't know. How do you want to do it?
Yeah, all right. Let's do this. I've got the roster pulled up, and we'll take turns saying whether they stay or go, and if we have a hot thing to say about them, then
we'll. Sounders website. Okay, do you want to do the ones in the light boxes or the gray boxes?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, you go first. Ozzie, stay or go?
He's gone, man. He's got to be gone. I know. It's time again. Been here since the beginning. Crazy renaissance this year. I that's crazy. I thought he was totally washed at the beginning of the year, but he came back and had a super good run.
Yeah.
I think he's gone. There's interest from Nashville. Yeah,
Orlando.
Who's coming into the league. And I think Orlando too. Orlando.
He could
compete with Sasha Kleyshyn for some midfield time.
Hey Ben, how much would you pay Ozzy to play for the Sounders?
Nice. Close.
Okay.
$250,000. Yeah.
Almost definitely.
That's more than.
But
half,
I just want to frame this in the context.
I think he's making close to a million.
You are going to pay Ozzy almost $100,000 more than Eddie Johnson.
Yo, that's true. Pay me.
Hey,
sorry, Eddie, the league has changed. Okay, Will, you're up.
Yeah, he's here
your
for sure.
Your namesake, Will
Ben
Bruin.
Buona.
Nice.
Okay, wait.
Stays
before I answer
for sure.
On Jordy DeLem,
gets
can
more
we
minutes.
Give a shout
love
out
the kid
to Buona
Jordy
for
DeLem.
That fucking ballsy PK that he took against Portland.
We can. That's right. Super stoked. I know. Amazing.
That was
so
it.
Who made the PKs against Portland? It was Buona. It was Rui Diaz.
And, Bruin missed.
That was it because Ozzy missed. And
yeah. And the thing about going fifth is
it takes
a lot of nerves. But it also
Lodero
means that your team still has to be in the game.
Oh. You might not get there. I know. Who would you have picked instead of those other guys? I would have picked Torres because he scored the championship winning penalty against Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good choice too. Totally. Calm dudes.
I'm okay no with problem. Bruin, PK, but I think Ozzie we also need to acknowledge like that that's not how he scores.
They're like bashing
goals.
Around dudes, right?
Like he's not that type of striker. He's a I'm going to find myself in a very fortunate position totally. And make a scrappy shot, you know? Like I wouldn't put Chad Barrett out there to take a PK. I mean, maybe I would. Totally. I'm not a coach. I don't know what I'm doing. Hey, on that note, I keep Jordy Delaney. He's 25 years old. He's proven himself to be a very capable MLS journeyman.
Keep him.
And I don't see any reason to let him go. There's no one. When he plays central midfield, he's a very capable individual.
When he's in central midfield, he plays great.
Elsewhere, I get a little nervous, but I think it's important to point out that he has experience playing in multiple positions on the field, so you can put him in different positions, even if you don't necessarily want to or should. Hey, there you go.
Totally. He's like a Roldan, like a Christian Roldan. I think he's gone. I don't know. I don't see the need for him anymore.
We were just hypothetically.
What position is he
playing? Peruvian
left back.
Left back. But Peru's like the flavor of the month right now. So I'm not
come back.
Any rumors I'm hearing about Peru.
Oh, yeah. I think Waylon is way gone. Okay, well, here's an easy one. Stefan Fry.
I don't know. He is 32 years old. But Hope to Jack just ranked him as the goalkeeper of the year because he prevented, I think, almost three times as many goals as any other goalkeeper. So I guess on the strength of that stat, I'll keep him.
Yeah.
Man. Fry, I got my eye on
nice.
You, buddy.
Just barely in.
All right. Kim Keehee, stay or go.
Yeah. In. Awesome. Super good. Good passing. Rangy. Totally stoked on him. I was skeptical.
Leerdam, you're
great.
This is easy. He's gone.
Will. Kevin Leerdam. We're in an easy section,
yes.
I think, here. What? No.
Wait. You didn't tell me I had to defend my choices. You just told me I had to choose whether they're here or gone. I don't think he's gone per se, but I would not at all be surprised to see the Sounders shop for another right back and maybe push for some competition. I really like Leerdam. I love what he brings to the team. But I think that right back, we don't have a ton of depth there right now. And I think that if they can find someone that they feel comfortable throwing into competition in that position, I would not be surprised to see Leerdam maybe lose his spot.
Nice. Nice. I agree that right back is relatively shallow. What position is not shallow is play everywhere, do everything, score goals, assist. Nicolas Lodero, he's here, but just for one more year. There are rumors that he wanted to go back to South America.
You think he's gone after next year?
I think he's going to be around one more year next year.
Why would you say that?
But he's around for one more year. Maybe, man.
His
I don't know.
Here. I kidnapped them.
Because he wants to go back to closer to his family. Back to South America.
They're fine. They're fine.
Okay, good.
Sorry.
Oh, don't worry. They're right over
that's
here.
That's a really dark joke, and it's not even funny.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Will. Will, don't do
Ben,
that.
I,
but what
I
you can do is tell me if Chad Marshall
I honestly don't know. You know, homeboy got wrecked in the Portland game. And non-contact injury. In theory, it's something that will heal during the off season. But, you know, Chad, my guy, you're my age. And when I sneeze, my back hurts. So I honestly don't know. I would love it if he was back and could play another year. He had a fantastic season this year. He scored a bunch of goals as a center back. He provided some absolute shutdown defense. But I'm worried about his longevity.
I know that last injury did seem pretty bad, and he gets hurt, I think, more this year, because every time he has to get up from the ground,
34, he's been stabbed in the kidneys a bunch of times and then hit with a brick. Is that Chad Marshall or is that Danny Glover? Jordan McCrary. Jordan McCrary. There you go.
Okay, Will, next. Yeah. Oh, that's me. Yeah. He stays. He's good enough, I think. There's your right back depth.
I guess he stays. Backup goalkeepers are always such a hard quantity to determine because I don't know how to value their worth, right? They don't see a lot of playing time until you absolutely need them. And when you absolutely need them, everyone always says, oh, this guy isn't as good as the starter. And it's like, well, yes, that's why he's not the starter. So I think that's an issue where you say we have no reason to move on from you unless we have someone coming up through the academy or we get this fantastic draft pick that we think is going to be with us for the next 40 years. So stay, I guess. I'm going to give you two at once because I'm going to give you three at once.
Totally.
Because I think two of the three are pretty easy.
Yeah.
Jordan Morris, Victor Rodriguez, and Roldan.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, those first two staying, clearly. I think the question with Jordan Morris is what position he plays. I think they're going to try to force him to play winger, and I think it's not going to work. I don't think that's where he plays best, and I think it's going to be a real struggle. That's my medium hot take. For that group, Rodriguez stays. Hopefully he stays healthy. I think that's the big thing with him. He stays. Okay. So you said Roldan, and that is actually a twofer because there's two Roldan.
I find this interesting
team
that even though the players are listed alphabetically, they list Christian Roldan ahead of Alex Roldan.
That's true, isn't it?
The Broldon.
That's awesome. I mean, maybe that tells us
what do you make of the Broldon?
Older Broldon stays, younger Broldon S2?
Yeah.
Or Tacoma.
I think that's fair.
Mini Baby Sounders or whatever they're going to rebrand as, the Tacoma Narrows. I think that's what's going to happen. He was okay. I think a Roldan, but there was no clear bro chemistry. So I think younger Broldan is Brolgon to S2. All right. Well, I'm going to do the same for you. I'm going to give you a forfer because we got a few more people.
Rui Diaz, I will keep him. Harry Ship has sailed, unfortunately. Okay. I do. I like him.
Oh, no.
But I think,
he's
the perennial journeyman midfielder in MLS. And I think that there is another team that will say, we will pay you an extra $8 and a bologna sandwich and all the slurpees you want from 7-Eleven. and Harry Ship will like go for that, you know. I think he's a fan, like he's a glue guy. He doesn't do sexy, like awesome shit that is super eye-catching and pleasing to look at, but he makes teams better. Unfortunately, on a team like the Sounders, he isn't a guaranteed starter.
Yeah.
And I think that if there's another team that can offer him a better chance at starting minutes, I don't in any way blame him for going. Oh, really?
I think he stays. That's our first big disagreement. He was key to that historic run.
Agree with me that Lurnum's gone?
Key to that historic run. Made the goals happen, even though he wasn't our scoring. I think disagreement. He stays.
Brad Smith. No, I guess that's who the fuck knows? His contract is up like halfway through the season with an like a loan option, and no one knows. And apparently, he's going to cost like $250,000. So gone.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised when they signed him because I'm a total new. I'm on the new Who Choo Choo train, and I didn't think we needed another left back, but he seemed good. I don't know. He seemed fine and good. And the narrative was that he was better at offense and knew who was better at defense. And in fact, that Opta Best 11, the Super Stats Geeks, pegged knew who as the best left back in MLS. Cause the Sounders allowed, I think, half a goal, less or fewer per game when he was playing versus Brad Smith. So the stats, I guess, bear out that narrative. I always thought Nuhu was good at getting forward, but bad at crossing, which I think he can learn how to do. So I don't know. I think Brad Smith goes, Nuhu stays. Will, what about our favorite landfill seed?
You know, landfill stays.
You mentioned Freiburg earlier. How about landfill?
Yeah, that or landfill passes away in a tragic accident and his twin brother shows up and takes his spot and says, it's weird if you call me landfill. Could you call me Gustav instead? And so we do. He's here for at least one more year. I think that we already announced that we're
there's always another Swede contract.
And I'm thrilled about that. The man has been fantastic for us. I think that as always, you have to reevaluate your expectations year after year as people get older and rosters change and like injuries crop up and whatnot. But he's such a multifaceted player. Similar to what I said about Harry Ship, he is a glue guy that makes teams better. And if you can find a way to get him onto the field, you will benefit from it.
Totally. I'm down for more.
So,
spends.
Okay.
More left.
I'll be honest.
Yeah, go for it.
I think one, I'm very certain about their fate. The other, I'm halfway certain about the fate. So I'll let you choose which one you want to answer about. Do you want to tell me whether Torres or Wingo stays or goes?
Ooh. Okay, I actually think
I respect that.
That Torres stays because I think maybe Chad Marshall retires. That's what I think. I think Chad Marshall's hurt and that might be it him. So Torres, key
partnership.
You're just going
to overlook
next year
the talent in the pipeline?
What?
Zach Scott.
Oh.
The man is a cyborg.
Roger
he
that.
Doesn't die. He will come back.
Oh,
we
what?
Build him. Like last time I saw Zach Scott, he was getting dipped into a vat
what
of
are you talking
molten,
about?
Like led, and he gave me the thumbs up sign and smiled, and I cried a tear. And the next thing you know, I'm driving my motorcycle down a windy road in Oregon because I'm escaping from the law, and I crash, and I'm put in like some veterinary facility cage while the Terminators come and get me. And then boom, what do you know? Zach's got kicked down the door. Whoa.
You didn't know that Zach Scott was short for Zach Scott T2000? I did not know that about Zach Oop. Scott. I thought you were talking about the S2 guy, Sam Rogers.
Oh,
Sam. Coming through the pipeline. Sam.
Henry Wing goes away.
Sam Rogers. What about Henry?
Yeah.
What about Henry Wingo?
I love He's the narrative gone, of the guy. Huh? I love
Henry Wing goes away.
Hometown guy who got the chance to play for the team, and I'm so happy and I'm so thrilled for him. But unfortunately, the amount of playing time that he did not see this year, just it's not encouraging for his longevity here. So I wish him the best of luck elsewhere, and I hope that he has a fantastic career moving forward. I just don't see it being with the Sounders next year.
He win gone. Agreed. Will, we made it through the roster. As a last thing, because we're right about the hour mark, do you have thoughts on what the Sounders need for next year and or a patented
you know,
little hot take?
I've been trying to mellow out in the August years of my youth. But I don't know. What do the Sounders need? I think that the Sounders need a new midfielder, because we only have 12 of them right now. And you know, like I say that somewhat snarkily, but we either need Victor Rodriguez to be healthy and 90 minutes fit, like from the get-go, or we need a new amazing boss, like defensive midfielder that will play lights out lockdown defense. Although I'm not convinced that that's what we need, because I think Roldan is better in the center than he is on the wing. Don't tell anyone I said that. I think what the Sounders need is they need a fast start. That's the thing they need more than anything else. They cannot afford to limp through the first third or first half of a season again this next year. They need to come out and they need to prove to everyone that they want it, and they need to put their foot on the throat of any team that tries to challenge them.
Nice. I'm into it. And I think a key part of that is signing another forward, someone who scores goals. The Sounders always go through these streaks where they can't score. I love Rui Diaz. He pulls goals out of nowhere. But I think part of the slow starts is always, always goal scoring. The defense is always fine. I think Schmetzer is a good defensive coach. And so I think they need a forward. That's going to be my
Ben.
My
look
spicy
at us.
Take to score goals.
We are
Will,
adults.
We did it. Nice. Podcasting adults. Any final thoughts, Will? Are
I
you
will.
Going to watch the MLS Cup?
I will watch it. I like I said before, I just want to enjoy a good game. I want to see fluid attacking back and forth. I want to see teams open up and go for it rather than trying to outcage each other. But I don't know. I really don't know what tomorrow will bring for us. I see that Gio Savarese is going to wear his lucky blue suit, which is great, I guess. You know, hooray. And I see that Darlington Nagbe is focused on winning MLS Cup, not trash talk, according to MLSsoccer.com, which is funny because I oftentimes forget that Nagbe plays for Atlanta.
Man. I know. It's a sneaky Nagby revenge game.
Well,
against his former team. Will he score the winning goal?
If he takes the shot from
Valeri outside scores the winning goal. Portland
because
wins,
if he gets the ball inside the 18, he's going to have no fucking clue what to do with it. Ooh, get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it!
I know. I know, poor lad. It's a spicy ball. Well, Will, I think that's a good place to wrap it up. Another fine Sounders season, little MLS hellscape, and next time we meet, let's get the whole crew together. This is me, Ben, and Will. That's Will pouring one out for our boy Samuel Hardy. This has been the Soccer Specific Podcast.